Now, theoretically, the underlying purpose of the statute was to stop frivolous lawsuits. Now, there's an extensive legislative history in the paper. I'm not going to go over that now. But the principal thing I want you to take away from this is that this was a media entity-driven statute. And why do we care about that? Well, because the terminology that is involved in the statute typically comes from media cases, whether it's the discovery of confidential informants or how do you find liability in First Amendment cases. So when you're researching cases under here, you're almost certainly going to end up in some sort of media or other First Amendment case. Well, of way more than 200 reported cases so far under the statute, just in the state appeals. We'll talk about federal cases shortly, but only one or two of these have ever met the definition of what is a slap case. So I've indicated before that this is really a solution in search of a problem. There was never any notion that there was some sort of wave that was cresting of slap cases out there. It was passed, and clever lawyers who are looking to apply the statute have determined that it's going to apply to almost anything. I've called this strategic motions against citizen suits, because what we're finding is that in actuality, the parties with the greater resources are using this motion to knock out the lawsuits filed against them. There are dual statutory purposes that are enumerated in the statute, not often discussed in the cases, but I think you need to pay attention to them because they're important. It's both to safeguard the right to speak and petition freely, and to, at the same time, protect the rights of a person to file meritorious lawsuits. Well, the second part of this purpose hasn't really been discussed a lot in the cases because the courts are all falling all over themselves to find ways in which to apply the statute and understand it. But we have to keep in mind that the statutory interpretation, which goes on with every case that goes up on appeal under this statute, means that you have to interpret the statute in support of the dual purposes here. Well, the way that the statute works is that there is a motion to dismiss, and if the party who is typically a defendant files a motion to dismiss, has to show first that there is a legal action that is based on, related to, or in response to the exercise of rights of speech on a matter of public concern, or right of petition, or right of association. That's the first part of this. It's a preponderance of the evidence analysis. If you meet that burden, then the burden then switches over to the other side, typically the plaintiff, to show by clear and specific evidence a prima facie case on each element of each cause of action. Well, what do all these terms mean? We're going to dive into these because the courts are looking and tearing apart the statute, trying to figure ways either to support it or to limit its application. So first of all, what is a legal action? Legal action under the statute is very broadly defined, far greater than what we typically understand as an action, which is the lawsuit. So here's the lawsuit and all of its component parts, plus any other judicial pleading or filing that requests legal or equitable relief. Well, for quite a while, this has been really kind of a small speed bump on the path. But courts more recently are taking a look at this language to try to find out whether this ever-expanding breadth, as the Fort Worth Court of Appeals said a couple of weeks ago, donning our pith helmet to explore the reaches of the statute to see how far it can go. So when you're looking at either defending or filing the case, especially if you're defending it, try to figure out, is this really a legal action? Well, lawsuit, yes, it is. But there was a case last week from the Dallas Court of Appeals in which there was a third-party subpoena, discovery subpoena, that was issued. Somebody filed a motion to dismiss and seeking fees and sanctions as a result. Dallas Court of Appeals says this doesn't count as a legal action. What we're also seeing is that in interpreting the term legal action along with the savings clause under the statute, which is, this statute doesn't enlarge or diminish any other existing rights or rules or statutes. Well, what we're seeing is that the Austin Court of Appeals said that a suit for declaratory relief under the Declaratory Judgments Act does not count as a declaratory judgment. So there are does not count as a legal action subject to the TCPA. Wow. So this is a one way to look at it is if there are existing statutes like trade secrets or theft liability or some other statutory remedy that exists, and Austin Courts also said in the Sullivan case that the regulatory scheme for reporting of lobbying activities doesn't count as a legal action under the TCPA because the legislature's already spoken on a way to regulate this behavior. So this is the savings clause is working to narrow the scope of what constitutes a legal action subject to the TCPA.